Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next half hour, they're going to be the views of Jeanette Schnall, who's living down in Chile, and then, of course, there's going to be, half an hour of open lines, and we'll talk about whatever you would like to talk about. But, Jeanette, how's things going down there in Chile?
Oh, it's going very well, Dr. Stan.
Now, tell me about the banks down there. Are the banks down there fairly stable, and do they have any question at all about taking money from Americans?
The banks here are very stable, and, it's difficult to do banking here when you're new, but, you know, that's sort of the good thing about being here, I think.
Why is it difficult to do banking down there?
The thing is, the banking system is very liquid. Is very liquid here, and
you can put your money in the bank, and as far as you know, the banks are fairly stable. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, definitely. The banks here are stable, and you know, there's not too much to worry about. It's not like the problems you're having back up in the United States.
I mean, the trouble is most of our banks here in the United States, really, so many of them really they're bankrupt. Basically, they've made a lot of loans on property they never should have made loans on, and that property has dropped dramatically in value, and as a result of that, why, of course, they've lost most of their reserves. Now, this is not all of the banks, as some of the banks have acted responsibly, but so many of the large ones, and they were into all of these, suddenly these collateralized debt obligations, and they were taking these fraudulent loans, and they were bundling them, and they were selling them, and then a lot of them bought this because, after all, it was an assured 7% or 6 or 7% interest. The only trouble was why these triple-rated bonds weren't valid, and then, of course, when they tried to sell them, they found that they were worth far less than they paid for them, and so many of our banks up here in the United States really are insolvent, but they don't want the American people to know that now. Some of the smaller banks, I think, are probably fairly reliable, but you didn't get the banks down in Chile didn't get off on these get-rich-fast schemes, did they?
No, we didn't have all this uncontrolled spending and all of these crazy no-money-down loans that they had up in the north. So the banks, kept their capitalization, and they haven't really expanded like they did back in the States. So we're definitely in better situation here. So.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear Jimmy Rogers over in Singapore, and he was talking about where he was going to invest. Well, he says you're going to have inflation. Why, of course, you want to get the commodities. You want to be in fixed assets and in currencies. And somebody said, why would you want to be in currencies? Well, he said, I want to be in currencies that will be stable. And he specifically mentioned Australia, Canada, and Chile. And I thought that was really quite a revelation that Jimmy Rogers, who I think is a very smart individual, would be mentioning Chile, where Jeanette lives. So the general feeling you have being there is that this is really a pretty stable country. Now, Jeanette's an American. She's moved to Chile. She does, of course, advertise with us in case people want to go down and visit her. And she's had quite a response from Americans who realize, of course, we're in terrible straits here. Well, Jeanette, you're still getting a pretty good response from the States from our programs then?
Yes, I am, actually, Dr. Stan. We've had hundreds of inquiries, and I've had probably 50 or so phone calls, and actually have had some people schedule. We have some people coming down this next month, and I recently applied, for example, for my permanent residency, and I found it at the office there that they have thousands of applications for people trying to get into the country, right, for their permanent and residency and their temporary residencies. It takes like 45 days just for them to open your application package. So they're keeping busy here.
So people really from all over the world then really are concerned about what's going on and are moving into other countries. And one of those seems to be Chile. Would that be a fair analysis?
Yes, it is. It definitely is. It seems like there's a lot of people headed towards South America because it's very affordable here. In some countries around the world, for immigration, they require that you have a large net worth or that you make a large investment in the country. And here, you know, they don't have that the kind of a large capital that you need to apply. So it's very popular. Other countries like Uruguay and Ecuador, Panama and Costa Rica, too, are also becoming popular.
Well, now, of course, are people from other South American countries coming to Chile? Is it mostly from, you'll say, from Europe or from Canada or from North America or from maybe from China? Are most people, are they South American or are they from all over the world?
Yeah, about 70% of the people that apply here are from South America, and that's according to the statistics from several years ago. But, you know, the other 30%, I had heard that an attorney in Santiago told me the third greatest amount of applications was actually from China. And I'm not sure where the top two are, but anecdotally, it looks like a lot of people from Europe and North America are coming. And then also you're getting a lot of applications from people in places like South Africa, you know, because they're having some hard times there. And then other places where people are concerned about their freedoms in places like Australia, et cetera. So we're getting a big mix of people.
All right, you hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Jeanette is just saying that people from all over the world are coming into Chile. People are really frightened to death as they look and see what's going on. She said they're getting a fair number of people from China. Why? Because China, of course, has had this tremendous economic expansion. A lot of people have made a lot of money, but they can see the whole structure, financial structure of China is contracting. And, of course, despite everything you're hearing, why China is not doing well. They have inflation there, of course, the government's then having to raise the interest rates and hold back on the amount of money that they're allowing into the society. Otherwise, they're going to go into runaway inflation and the whole economic structure will come down. So people from China are moving to Chile, and Jeanette's saying that an awful lot of people from other South American countries are moving to Chile just because it's stable. Now, of course, if you have any questions you'd like to ask Jeanette, great time to do it. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and Jeanette will be with us here for the first half hour, and then we're going to do open lines because there's so many things to talk about. Sydney, the whole structure of the world, as we know, is changing and changing radically. And of course, that's one reason that Jeanette and her husband moved to Chile. They looked all over the world. They felt this was probably as safe as any place and safer than most. And so how long have you actually been down there, Jeanette?
Well, I've actually been physically down here for over a year now, but we started this whole process about 7 years ago. So it was 7 years ago that we bought property, and then about 2008 we had a small house built and put on our property here so that we could come down and, you know, establish ourselves and use it as a summer home or a vacation home when we wanted. So now I've been down here a full year, and I'm actually applying for my permanent residency, and we've set up a business, and, you know, we're learning a language and doing all the kinds of things that new immigrants do, and learning and growing and, you know, experiencing it and having a good time. So
when I was your husband moved down there with you, or does he still have a business up here in the States?
No, he used to work for an engineering firm up in the States, and he's still able to do some work remotely over the internet and stuff. So that's the nice thing about the internet, is that if you can get into certain businesses, you know, you can live anywhere around the world and have salaries. But right now he's here, and we're working on a real estate business together.
All right, fine. Well, I must be doing fairly well, and it has been with us for 4 or 5 months, and it's going to be staying on. So if you have any questions at all, I mean, they've looked all over the world. And they finally hit on Shelley. Now, I will tell you that in the mid-1970s, my family and I moved to South Africa. We thought that this might be a safe place to go. And, of course, just about the time we got there, they brought in television, the whole society changed. And by the time we came back to the States in 1977, it was not the same country it had been when we went there in 1975. And certainly when we were there, of course, apartheid was disappearing. Certainly they were moving towards a multiracial society, but the United States government actually put pressure on the leaders of South Africa to make concessions they never should have. In fact, I had the opportunity to talk to John Forster, who is the president of the country, and I was fortunate to spend about an hour with him, talking to him about the Council on Foreign Relations and what was going on. Asked him why he was making all these concessions to America, and he looked at me, and he said, "You don't understand, doctor. I have no choice. I have no choice." Now, this is the man who's elected ruler of South Africa, John Forster. But, of course, the power forces in the United States were so powerful, he had no choice but to make concessions that would lead to the destruction first of Rhodesia, we call it now Zimbabwe, and then, of course, the destruction of South Africa. And it really is, things are going from bad to worse. They're already at the worst in Rhodesia. I mean, over half the country has fled. Many of the people are starving. Now, certainly the people have lost everything of material wealth there. And, of course, things are not going well at all in South Africa, thanks to American foreign policy. Well, certainly, does America have a strong influence there in Chile, or are the people in Chile going their own directions, as far as you know, Jeanette?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I think they're going their own way. And the thing is that they haven't capitulated. They have their own currency. They're keeping their sovereignty. And although they are under, you know, pressure to join international organizations and sign, you know, international treaties and stuff, I think that, you know, they definitely are wanting to keep their sovereignty. And the thing is, they're still a very family-oriented society. And they, unfortunately, they're getting more and more Western television. But, you know, I think they still keep their culture. And, you know, they're really not wanting to emulate the West as much as, you know, they are in other countries. So that's what we like, is that they still have their national identity here, and we like the identities that they do have.
A family-oriented society is a much better society than the society we have here in the United States today, where there's an open attack on Christianity, where, of course, it's very obvious that Christianity is under scrutiny, and certainly they've done everything they could to destroy the faith of our people. They've taken God and prayer and morality out of our schools. We're legalizing all sorts of immoral activity here in America, and certainly both the Protestant and Catholic Church are under constant attack. Well, Jeanette, how can people get in touch with you down there in Chile if they'd like to know more?
Oh, certainly. Well, they could call. I have a telephone, which is a U.S.-based number. They can call us and get in contact, and that phone number is area code 413-835-7961, and that's 413-835-7961. We all have also have a presence on the World Wide Web, and that's www.southernchiliproperties.com, and that's plural, IES for properties, southernchiliproperties.com. And, you know, we have all kinds of maps and videos and articles and stuff where people can get on our website and learn more about the country and email us, and I can send people out information that they can look over and you know, see if it's something that they think they might be interested in.
All right, fine. And Sydney, basically, of course, the area where Jeanette lives is known as the Lake Country, and apparently there's a lot of lakes there. It's certainly a very temperate climate. I suspect it's very close to what it is in the part of California where we live. It's really not tropical there at all, is it?
No, it's a temperate climate, and it's sort of like the climate, you know, on the West Coast, maybe the Pacific West. It definitely has a rainy season here, but we don't have too much snow. The temperature is maybe as cold as it can get down to actually freezing in the winter, but and a few days of snow, and then you have temperatures that run in the, you know, high 70s or low 80s in the summertime, so it's actually nice, perfect weather. And, you know, we still have the four seasons, and there's a temperate rainforest here. We have a lot of water, a lot of natural resources, so it's a nice, comfortable place to live here.
Okay, fine. Well, if you have a question for Jeanette, our telephone number is 1-800-1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Jeanette will be with us for the half hour, and then, of course, we're going to do open lines for the second half hour. And basically, of course, is the economy is really doing fairly well. I saw the local hardware store. They had these big stacks of plywood, and I noticed they came from Chile. So you must have a pretty good lumber industry there, too, don't you?
Yes, we do. We have a pretty big lumber industry. That's one of large exports here. They grow a lot of pine here. The weather is very conducive to the pulp industry, to trees, and thus we sell a lot of 2x4s and stuff to the state. There's a very big, building industry here. We have a lot of building. You know, they export a lot of products for building, and there is a lot of building going on in country here. Supposedly we're at like a 6% growth this year, and, you know, they're projecting a very good year for next year, as opposed to, you know, I think in the United States the growth has been very low, like 1% or something. I don't think you're able to.
Well, yeah, they tell us it's 2%, but they're really lying because they're lying about the inflation rate. Basically, of course, I have to understand there's been an organized effort to destroy our economy. The reason, of course, we do not export a lot of lumber products from here is they've shut down our lumbering. Oh, it was a spotted owl or other environmental concerns. Basically, they have transferred America's lumber industry to other nations. But then we've done that. We've transferred our automotive industry to other nations. We've just transferred our steel industry to other nations. We've transferred our electronic industry, our mining industry. Sydney, we've transferred so many of our major industries, which was the bulwark, certainly our clothing industry, textile industry, part of the globalization process to raise living standards throughout the world as they lowered living standards here in America. The average American really can't believe it because it doesn't make sense unless they understand globalism and the fact that our leaders have no loyalty to America but to this globalist dream. Once again, the telephone number, Jeanette?
Oh, certainly. 413-835-7961.
One more time.
413 835-7961.
Okay, and let's get the web page out again.
Yes, that's the World Wide Web. That's www.southernchiliproperties.com. That's southernchiliproperties.com.
And I would like to suggest if anybody's interested in getting hold of Jeanette, they can't remember, if they'll go to my homepage, that's radioliberty.com, and you simply go to our front page and scroll down there. There's a banner, it says southernchiliproperties.com, and you click on it, and you go right to Jeanette's website. And certainly it's a very attractive website, lots of attractive pictures, and I'm sure... it's very attractive to many people. There are maps there. The things that you need to know about Chile, because you get up north, you get up into the tropical area, but this is a 2,000-mile coastline, and because it's a long, narrow country, but suddenly there down where Jeanette is, it reminds me probably of southern Oregon, maybe northern California. Would that be a fairly comparable?
Oh, definitely. That's about the same. Latitude. So, yeah, definitely a good comparison.
Now, what does the economy primarily consist of? You mentioned wood, copper. What about food, agriculture? Because they've destroyed the agricultural market here. They've closed down the Central Valley of California, which used to be the breadbasket of the world. They used a 3-inch smelt to justify destroying our agriculture here in California. And because more and more products are being brought into America from overseas, which gives us, of course, a $500 billion trade deficit every year. And that's part and parcel of the globalist effort to lower living standards in America as we raise them throughout the rest of the world. And living standards really are being raised there in Chile, aren't they?
I think so. We have a very strong export economy here. It's a natural resource-based economy. And they... one of the largest cash crops here is, they have wheat, salmon, and wine is very big. They have, they compete with some of the international wine manufacturers and some of the different countries around the world that manufacture and export wine, such as France. I think Chile is like one of the third best known countries for wine. And, you know, it's mostly agricultural-based economy, and they don't really manufacture a lot of stuff like China does or whatnot, but they have the copper industry, which is something that is, you know, a major material that's needed throughout the world for manufacturing, and China is one of their biggest clients in that regard. So things are going along well here. So far in that regard, if there's a major downturn, I'm sure they'll take a hit, but I think, you know, compared to what's going to happen in the United States, I think we'll have half the problems because the people here are much hardier than they are in a lot of other places. They went through, you know, some bad times themselves here with different changes of government, and I think they're really going to stick to the democratic process, and they've already had their upturns with government turns over. So
hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, they've already had their fling at socialism there in Chile, and of course, it didn't work. And so, of course, they have a much more circumscribed society than we have here in America, where we're embracing socialism. 66% of all government expenditures are for welfare and Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and food stamps and government gives away. 66%. Of all the money we spend, so it goes into that sort of thing. And we used to be, of course, 50% of our what we spent went for the military, which that's down to about 25% now. Basically, of course, America is making the same mistake that other countries have made, and of course, have lived to regret. Well, Sydney, if you're out there and you'd like to speak to Jeanette, our number is 888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And this is going to be about the last time I'm going to give you an opportunity to call in, because we're going to have to let Jeanette go. But Jeanette, I want you to get your telephone number one more time and your web page, please.
Oh, sure. My phone number here that rings in, it's a U.S. number that rings in my office and my computer here in Chile, is area code 413-835-7961. That's 413-835-7961.
Do that once again. We're getting out. That was very garbled. One more time, the telephone number, please. I think we're having some problems. I'll see if I can get our producer to call you back again. Is it any better now? Are you on your regular telephone?
Yep, I'm on the regular telephone.
Oh, okay, well, let's try one more time to get the number and the website up before we let you go.
Okay, 413-835-7961, southernchiliproperties.com. That's southernchiliproperties.com.
Okay, God bless you. Thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking to you next month.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. We're just going to open lines the rest of the hour, so if you have something you'd like to talk about, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But ladies and gentlemen, certainly things are fairly stable right now, but certainly I think we're going to see some dramatic changes coming up this next year. Why do I think that? Well, because there's so many things that are going on that point to the fact that there is a master plan. Certainly, we've talked in the past about Lindsay Williams' friend, Ken Fromm, and certainly in 2008, Ken Fromm told Lindsay that certainly when the European currency collapses, you have 2 weeks to get out of the dollar. Now, basically, of course, what he's talking about is simply the total disruption of the European monetary system, and there'll be contagions here in America because, of course, as European banks fail, we have written insurance policies on those, and our major banks have written insurance policies on the loans, both government loans and banks stability over their bank bonds over in Europe. And of course, those are known as derivatives or CDO, collateral backed security, CDS. The trouble is there's no money behind them. Between Bank of America and JP Morgan Chase, they hold $154 trillion. That's not billion, that's not million, that's $1 trillion in derivative contracts. I mean, remember, so the entire gross domestic product of the entire world is only $60 trillion a year. The combined wealth of everybody in America total is $60 trillion. And Bank of America and J.P. Morgan Chase hold $154 trillion in derivative contracts on those banks over in Europe, on the banks' bonds and on the government bonds. And they've written insurance policies saying that they'll be back them up. But don't you worry, if you have Bank of America stock, you don't have to worry about it, because they've shifted that over to the Federal Deposit Insurance Company, because Federal FDIC doesn't have any money either, but they're backed by the full faith and credit of the United States, so that's going to be shifted on to our federal government. Where are we going to come up with $154 trillion? Well, we'll just have to make it out of nothing. After all, we couldn't have the banks go down here, could we? So they're going to inflate, and in the process, they're going to effectively destroy the structure of our government. Our telephone number here is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And this may well be coming down this coming year.
Yeah, but you won't let you love me yet. Napoleon, Marie Antoinette, but you don't want to.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and got open lines for the next half hour, so give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. They certainly turned the big guns on Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul. Want to know what you think about it. Certainly they have all sorts of criticisms. First of all, they're saying, well, everybody knows, certainly the elections there in Iowa and the caucus in Iowa, the vote in New Hampshire, really don't mean much of anything. And well, I don't remember them saying that 4 years ago or 8 years ago or 12 years ago. I mean, these were always important, but it simply looks like Ron Paul is going to do very, very well in Iowa. And certainly if he does well in Iowa, he might do fairly well in New Hampshire. We'll just have to wait and see. But isn't it interesting that when it looks like Ron Paul is going to win immediately, oh, it doesn't mean anything at all. It's just, it's incidental. I mean, basically, you can't come to any conclusions just because Ron Paul seems to have an effective organization, and certainly most of the candidates are not going to be on the vote of the ballot in the state of Virginia because they don't have any organizations. There are only really two organizations out there. One is the Ron Paul organization, and the other, of course, is Mitt Romney. Of course, Romney gets all of his money predominantly from the major bankers. The major bankers, the multi-billion dollar bankers, is the one to put the money up for Romney. So he has an organization, but Perry and Bachman and Gingrich really don't have effective organizations. Rick Santorum really doesn't have an effective organization. He doesn't have a lot going for him. I mean, he's pro-life. They're all trying to appeal to the Christian voters. Now, Ron Paul is a Christian, but he's not pushing Christianity. He's pushing the Constitution and limiting the power of government, because that's what he's elected to do, is to maintain the Constitution. The rest of them really aren't talking very much about it. Romney talks a little bit about it, but of course he's not going to cut back on big government. He certainly is a very, very liberal. He was very liberal when he was a governor there in Massachusetts, and he will be liberal if he suddenly gets to be the President of the United States. But the big dividing line between Ron Paul and all of the other candidates is he doesn't want to get us involved in a war with Iran or with the Muslim world, and the others do. And they're all talking about, oh, my goodness, you know, we can't let Iran get the nuclear bomb. Why, if Iran got the nuclear bomb, why, of course, it would threaten America. But we're not concerned that China got the nuclear bomb. We're not concerned that Pakistan has the bomb. We're not concerned that Russia has the bomb. We're not concerned that India has the bomb, or that suddenly Israel has the bomb. It's only the fact that those crazy Ayatollahs in Iran may very well get the bomb. But everybody's forgotten we installed those crazy Ayatollahs back in 1979. And at the time when we were doing that, we had toppled the Shah of Iran. It was very obvious we had toppled the Shah of Iran. And we did everything we could, of course, to keep the Ayatollahs in power. And we could go into that. I could talk an hour what I personally know about how we brought the Ayatollahs to power, what really happened during the hostage crisis over there. In fact, if nobody calls in, I'll tell you what I do know personally about that, because I had the opportunity of talking to William H. Sullivan, who is the American ambassador to Iran at the time of the first hostage crisis. Most people don't even know there were two hostage crises there. But initially a group of students came in and seized the embassy, and then they released everybody after 4 or 5 days. And then, of course, they told William H. Sullivan, and who was the American ambassador at the time, you know, Sydney, if you allow the Shah of Iran to come to the United States, we'll come back here and take the hostages and hold them permanently. And, of course, then William H. Sullivan, I had the opportunity of interviewing him at the American Assembly at Columbia University in 1980. And I only wish I had this on film, or I'd taken a tape recorder with me, but he told me that he came back to the United States. Now, it was time for him to rotate home. So he came back to the United States, and he told Jimmy Carter, he told Henry Kissinger, he told the people in the State Department what he had been told by the leader of the students who'd seized the embassy when he was there in Tehran. And that was, if we brought the Shah of Iran to the United States, why, they would come back and they would seize the embassy, and certainly they would hold the people there hostage indefinitely. So what did the United States do? We immediately bought the Shah of Iran to the United States, because he had a medical illness and he needed treatment that was only available from a doctor in Canada. And so we brought the Shah to the United States. We brought the doctor down from Canada so he could treat the Shah of Iran. Why wouldn't we have sent him to Canada? Because I believe they wanted the hostage crisis. It's exactly what they got. And then, of course, there were many opportunities to end the hostage crisis. Certainly, George Hanson, Congressman George Hanson of Idaho, actually went to Iran and personally talked to the people holding the hostages, and they were quite willing to release them. And he came back and told the American State Department that, and they told him, under no circumstances were you ever to mention this, that the Iranians were willing to release the hostages. All they asked for was the money, the Iran's money that was being held by our government that frozen. We're talking about $4 or $5 billion they needed. And it was their money. We eventually gave it back to them after the October surprise. And, of course, the October surprise was the whole idea that they were going to release the hostages. But when Jimmy Carter was still president, and that might swing the election behind him, so the Republicans contacted the Iranians who are actually holding the Americans prisoner there, the hostages, and told them under no circumstances to release the hostages until Ronald Reagan got in office. How do I know that's true? Well, number one, I interviewed personally Gunther Rusbacher, who claims he flew with George Bush to Paris and back again in a Blackbird. And you can check this out on the internet. I spent a fair amount of time with Gunther. Fascinating individual. I mean, he made James Bond look like a piker. And then, of course, secondly, it was the timing of the release. You see, the Republicans didn't want those hostages released until Ronald Reagan was in the White House. And the Iranians did exactly what they were told to do. And they released the hostages on the very morning that Ronald Reagan was inaugurated President of the United States. Why didn't they release them earlier? Well, they had an agreement. And I don't know what the terms of the agreement were, but I do know there was an agreement. You probably will remember there was an attempt to rescue the hostages. And we'd sent in a couple of helicopters with special forces on them. And what did William H. Sullivan, the American ambassador to Tehran, told me at that time? He said, you know, that was my embassy. There was no way that those helicopters could land. There was no place in the enclosure there at the embassy that those helicopters could have set down to rescue the hostages. Well, there was a field across the street, but it was quite some distance away. He said to me twice, I would hate to think that this was all a setup. I'd hate to think it was all a setup, that there's no way that they could have been successful. And then, of course, you remember the story. Why, the military had never thought that there was sand in the desert, and those helicopters set down out in the desert, and they got sand in the engines, and one of the helicopters then was disabled, and that's why they had to cancel this whole effort to save the hostages. That was the official story told to the Americans. Oh, they just never figured there was sand out there in the desert, in the desert of Iran, and so they just forgot to put on any sort of filters, and one of the planes got sand in the engine, and that's why, and I think it crashed, and so they had to cancel the effort. Well, why would they announce it? I mean, they could have just, I'm sure they kept it secret and tried it again. Well, what Ambassador Sullivan told me, and he was a very prominent individual. He'd been ambassador to Laos. He'd been in Paris along with Kissinger negotiating the peace treaty with North Vietnam. He had actually was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He knew David Rockefeller. And whenever he mentioned David Rockefeller, it was almost with adulation, like one of the great men of our time. But I think William Sullivan was a very nice man. I really enjoyed talking to him. But on two occasions, he said, I hope this was a real attempt. I find it difficult to believe. He said, I know one of the men who led that attack. I would hate to think that this was a setup. This was all stage managed. But, I just hope that they really were trying. But I don't know how it could have worked. There was no way practically it could have worked. But the American people didn't know that. We thought it was sort of like the Bay of Pigs. Oh, shucks, we did our best, but certainly we just... Well, we just couldn't pull this thing off, you know. There was no air support, and it was just a bit... No, they sent those men at the Bay of Pigs to lose. When you understand that, why it all makes sense. We sent them in, and then we could say to the American people, well, we tried, but we failed. And the same thing with rescuing the hostages. But don't you worry, the hostages got out. On the very morning when Ronald Reagan was to be inaugurated President of the United States, and of course it was a rainy morning, I'm told, and people were there with their parasols standing out in front of the Capitol building, waiting for Ronald Reagan to become inaugurated President of the United States. And of course the whole idea was that new dawn was coming, and just as Ronald Reagan was coming down to accept the presidency to and to take his oath of allegiance, the announcement was made that the prisoners, American prisoners, had been released. And it said, and I don't know whether it's true, but it said that suddenly the clouds parted, the sun came out, and Ronald Reagan went to the podium and was sworn in as the President of the United States. And everyone took their parasols down, the sky suddenly became blue, and we had a new day in America. Well, of course, that is a great story, and how much of it is true? But I do know that the timing suggests that they kept those hostages for psychological purposes up till just the moment when Ronald Reagan was become the president. But so much of what's going on is stage managed until you understand that they control our reality and they control our emotions. And they said that we were all concerned about the American hostages held by the Iranians, but we're not concerned about the men we abandoned in Korea. About 8,000 Americans were left to die in the prison camps, and certainly probably 1,000 Americans were left to die in North Vietnam and in Laos following the peace over there, the Vietnam War. We never talk about that. But if they focus our attention on the Iranian hostages and cover up the fact that we abandoned our men. These are brave soldiers who went off to fight for our country, never realizing, because we never went to Vietnam to win the war. It was all a make-believe war. We rotated 2.5 million people through there. We lost 58,000 dead and probably several hundred thousand wounded, and it was all totally fraudulent. War we never tried to win. As William H. Sullivan told me, we could have won it in 6 weeks. Major General, pardon me, four-star General Lew Walt told me exactly the same thing. We could have won the war at any time. We just were never allowed to win that war. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we have open lines for a few minutes. We'd love to hear from you. And, of course, we've got a great program the next hour. But we'd like to know what you think about this sort of thing. Oh, should Ron Paul suddenly be rejected because he doesn't want to get us into a war with Iran? Because he wants, of course, to cut back on America's involvement with the rest of the world. He doesn't want America to be the policeman of the world. He doesn't even think we ought to have 800 to 900 bases around the world or troops stationed in 130 nations. He doesn't think that America should be running the world. He does not believe in globalism and this idea of a new world order. He is an American patriot, and all of the other Republican candidates that they are on the other side. Where do you stand? Do you think America should be running the world? And if we aren't the policemen, who would police the world? And I don't think that we want a policeman of the world. Basically, America spends more in military than all the other countries in the world put together. Why do we do that? Because the little clique that runs our government, it has no loyalty to America. They're doing everything they can to bankrupt our nation. Their loyalty is this internationalist dream, this one world government. And we have troops stationed in all these 130 nations so we can crush and destroy and really eliminate anyone who stands in the way of this wonderful dream of the New World Order, the New World Financial System, the New World Religion, and the New World Ruler. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. And firstly, I've had an opportunity to talk to some people through the years that have helped put some give some impression of what's really going on over in Iran. We installed the Ayatollahs. We've kept the Ayatollahs in power. In 1949, it didn't make any sense. In the year 2011, 2012, it makes a lot of sense. Because this is long-range planning to take us into a war. They seem to be working on some type of a time schedule. And so much of this seems to point towards the year 2012. I think it's going to be a pivotal year, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but This is a pivotal time. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Like to know what you think. What do you think about the fact that Ron Paul is an isolationist? In fact, they claim he's to the left of President Obama on so many issues. Why? He doesn't want to be sending troops all throughout the world. He doesn't want America to dominate the world militarily. He just wants to let other countries decide what they want to do. And all the other candidates want America to run the world. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and simply this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you agree with us that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, and you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But if you want to certainly contact us, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, the telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And to really understand what is going on today, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear my talk on the dark secret and the forbidden secret, and the syllabuses go with that. Why? Because it takes you into the supernatural element behind what's going on. Most of us look at things from the political point of view, right, left, conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat. We look at it as the whole idea of the elections and what's coming up with the elections, and should we be the policemen of the world, or should we certainly be more isolationist? Without realizing there are powerful spiritual forces which are guiding the people who control our government. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a small little clique of people, and they work through the Council on Foreign Relations, the Club of Rome, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Royal Institute for International Affairs. There's probably not more than, maybe 5,000 or 6,000 of them. But they control the wealth of our country. Basically, they control certainly our military, and if you want to get in the military, you go along with them, or you will never get a promotion, or if you dare to speak out against them, your military career ends at that point. They control the major banks, because as long as you can create money, why, of course, you can certainly buy up the media, you can buy up the universities, you can buy up the seminaries. Of religious ceremonies, which they've done, certainly they control the leaders of both political parties, and certainly they control the media. They've bought up most of the media. We have 6 major banks in America. We have 6 major corporations that control the media. And these are the people who control the destiny of our nation. And the fact that you're never told this simply reflects the degree of control that exists over what the American people think and believe. So if you want more information, certainly you'd start with my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And then, of course, you'd certainly get the other things that we talk about. I think that certainly you'd want to read Professor Quigley's wonderful book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. There are 2 summaries of that. One is called Nundercalli Conspiracy, and the other is Cleon Skousen's book, The Naked A Capitalist. We don't carry that. You can get that off the internet, but we do carry Nundercalli Conspiracy by Gary Allen. Of course, it was because Gary Allen outed the Council on Foreign Relations. They had to form the Trilateral Commission. We actually carry the book With No Apologies by Barry Goldwater. It was written in 1949, and there he basically tells him the Trilateral Commission, David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission, is international. Its purpose is to control the financial and commercial interests. And he's talking about the world by first seizing control of the political government of the United States. You need to get David Rockefeller's book, Memoirs. You need to get Barry Goldwater's book, With No Apologies. You need to get at least Gary Allen's little book, Nundercalli Conspiracy. And then, of course, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you, because you have to have at least some grasp of what's going on. And we do hope many of you out there will get that book. Remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. We ask you, of course, to certainly pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Melody Cederstrom. Hi, Melody.
Hello, Dr. Stan.
Well, tell us what your take is on what's going on financially. Things are a little quiet right now. I'm sure that a lot of people aren't buying gold and silver. Melody sells gold and silver, but I think we're moving, of course, we're going to be moving into the new year, and I can see all sorts of dramatic things happening. Go right ahead. What's your take?
Well, I agree. I think we've seen a very quiet time, you know, probably from about the middle of December, and we're going to see this following through to the new year. And then I believe there's going to be more focus and more truth coming out on exactly what's happening over in Europe and, of course, what's happening here. There's going to be lots of distractions, though, with the election this year. And, of course, I believe we have the Iowa coming up next week. So there'll be different distractions. But I think we're going to find a very interesting and disturbing year for 2012. And we all know that they've been holding things together, the printing of dollars, in order to keep the whole world, well, particularly Europe, their financial system together. And, you know, we say it time and time again that it can only do it for so long, but we can never underestimate their power and their ability to prolong these things and to keep these markets flowing. I mean, I saw consumer confidence came out today, and, you know, just because the stock market is up, oil prices are down, you know, that puts people in a sort of a positive attitude. So now they're going to feel a little bit more positive about the economy, thinking that these things equate to better jobs and better pay. And they're sadly mistaken. They're being deceived. And but it is something that, very few of the mainstream population can see through. So definitely turbulent times through 2012. And again, I was never one to predict dates and times and months and so forth. There's going to be an outcome to what they've done. I mean, it's been an agenda. It was created. And there will be a timetable, and things will come to pass. And the only thing that people can really do is we prepare. We continue to prepare. We continue living our lives, but we do prepare, and we need to prepare almost every day and be aware of what's going on around us so we can take the necessary actions.
Well, I think the vitally important thing is to understand that they are going to destroy the financial structure of this nation. Basically, you cannot continue spending 43 cents out of every dollar the government spends. It has to be borrowed. How long can you continue borrowing money? Or if you don't borrow it, you have to print it. How long can you continue printing? As in the almost a third of all the money that you spend, when you do that, this lays the foundation for inflation. Now, of course, a lot of the banks are sitting on large sums of money, and basically they're not lending it out. If they started to lend it, we would have runaway inflation. And it's because the banks are sitting on this money that this is not happening, because there's certain reserve requirements. They're having to keep back about 9%, so they'll have a backing so that we will not certainly have the banks collapsing as we did in the year 2008. But people don't understand that the Federal Reserve System has been pouring money out. It's massively increased the amount of money that's out there. It's not real money. It's all credit. It's all paper. But it can still be bought and sold. And one of these days, this whole financial house of cards is coming down. They know exactly what's going to happen. Out of the chaos, they believe, will come the New World Order. Well, Melody, Sydney, have you heard anything at all about people with foreign bank accounts being told that foreign banks in Europe will no longer hold American accounts over there. Have you heard that at all?
I've heard things like that for a while, and of course, I mean, I believe, you know, foreign accounts are really for a select group of people. I have many clients who come to me and they talk about offshore accounts and everything like that, and I never agreed, or, and, you know, I suggest that people don't do that. I mean, we've seen what has happened in Switzerland, where they released information on a group of folks that had funds in their banks, and so there's no privacy anywhere in this world. It is not the world that was, 40, 50 years plus ago, where you could have offshore accounts, have your privacy, and so, I mean, all those rights are gone. They're not even rights, but all these programs in order to shore your money off, to put your money offshore, are gone. And so, I mean, I don't agree with it. I don't know if that's true. I don't know where that has come from, but I've had heard various reports on that, but I don't think that was so recent. I'm not, you know, if I've heard it a couple months ago, or, you know, maybe it was just one of the stories that you hear repeatedly.
Well, I can assure you that it is true. I know people who've gotten these letters within the last week are saying that if you had a foreign bank account, a Swiss bank account, they would no longer hold it for you. We've certainly heard in the past that the Swiss would not take any new American accounts after the debacle with Union Bank of Switzerland. But, of course, now apparently the American authorities are giving the Swiss bank so much of a headache. They're just saying, we're not going to put up with it. We will not hold money here for Americans. And, of course, the difficulty is that where are you going to put your money? What bank is going to be safe? Are the banks safe here in the United States? Are the banks safe in Europe? We know that Lloyd's of London doesn't think the banks over there are safe. Lloyd's has been around for 300 years. And they pulled all of their money out of the banks in Europe, and they've deposited it with the European Central Bank, and of course they get no interest at all. And of course, and with inflation, they're losing money, but they'd rather do that than gamble on the banks over there. And I fear that the same thing could very well happen here in the United States. I believe that an awful lot of our banks are grossly insolvent, and we don't know which ones they are. But I think everybody has to be aware. We'll be right back here. Well, yeah, this is Dr. Stan. We're simply talking about many of the banks, certainly in Europe, are frankly insolvent. And many of the banks here in the United States are frankly insolvent. I said that Martin Weiss has put out a list of the banks which are insolvent. And some of them are, but who are we in a position to know, unless, of course, you get an expert like Mark Weiss, who's been at this for 50 or 60 years, and he evaluates the banks, and he will tell you which banks here in America you can trust. An awful lot of, especially the larger ones, are frankly insolvent, and if they go down, despite the fact they have FDIC insurance, remember the FDIC has no money. The FDIC has certainly had put out all of the money it had, and now it's in the red. And it has to back up its guarantees with the full faith and credit of the United States government. But remember, the federal government doesn't have any money, other than what it takes from us by force or what it prints. And so what the federal government is doing, what the Treasury is doing, with the Fed's compliance, is they're simply creating more money out of nothing. Either the Treasury is printing it, or the FDIC is making the credit entries. But they're creating another great credit bubble. And when this thing comes crashing down, what happened in 2008, I believe is going to look like child's play. My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I was just pointing out to Melody that I've heard certainly from very, very reliable sources that the major Swiss banks are sending letters out to Americans who have foreign bank accounts with money in Switzerland and saying, we will no longer keep your money here. You're going to have to transfer your money out of our bank. We regret this, but because of the harassment from the American government, why, we will not hold your money. Now, when did you ever hear of a bank saying they wouldn't hold your money? But basically what our government is doing is making it impossible for any Americans to survive. If you put your money in the bank, the bank collapses, what do you do? I mean, do you put your money into bonds and into various things, and you get inflation, it wipes out the value of your currency, and in 3 or 4 years, your life savings could be gone. And will they call in gold? We don't know. I don't think they'll call in silver. I don't think that they'll go to that extent. But I think this whole house of cards is just simply carefully balanced on a razor's edge. But when, and I can assure you this is true, when the major Swiss banks, and I suspect this is other European banks, are sending out letters saying, we will no longer hold funds for Americans, because of the policies of the American government, it means that there's really no way to protect your life savings. This is rather scary, Melody.
It really is, and I have clients every day, Dr. Stan, who, you know, they get to a certain point in their life, they're financially stable, they're approaching retirement, and they have their money, and they don't know what to do with it. They know it's not safe. They don't know where to put it, and I'm told every day that the only place that they found that they can trust is really gold. But when you have people, it's very difficult for them to get out of paper 100%. Many do, many don't. But again, if they're right back to being gold is the only safe place to put your money. And a lot of these stress tests that they do, I mean, we look at Dexia. I mean, that's failed, and that was one of the banks that was passed their stress test over there. So it's very difficult, and you don't know where a lot of these banks are invested in. I think it's important when people keep money in their banks, whatever bank they keep it in, go and talk to them. Find out where they do their investing. Find out where their money goes. Find out how they have it listed. And you should check on it periodically. If you're going to keep your money there, you can ask these questions. You have the right to ask these questions. We've been raised in the past, we didn't have to do these things. We didn't have to investigate the banks that we kept our money in. But you do now. Certainly, Martin Weiss, you can take his list. But people should do their own investigations also.
Well, of course, we've always been told that the American banks were backed by the Federal Deposit Insurance Company up to 100,000, 200,000, something like that. And of course, because they had a fund. Those funds are gone. And now, of course, I forgot the lady who was in charge of the FDIC. But she was always saying, you have nothing to worry about. Your money is backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. And then recently, very quietly, she just quit her job. I think she realized the whole thing was fraudulent, and she didn't want to be responsible when people lost everything they worked for during their whole life. But when you get into, as in the uncertain financial times, this is when the wealth of the people is destroyed. And the whole idea of our ruling elite, I believe, is to impoverish the American people. And when people are impoverished, they will certainly go along with the dictates of the elite. And basically, the whole idea is wipe out the middle class. You'll have a small ruling elite. And then everybody else will be impoverished because you'll have a middle class made up of government employees, the military, and the police, who will, of course, keep the people in line. But, of course, nobody will be allowed to speak out against a benevolent government that's only there to help us. And isn't it too bad you lost your life savings? But, of course, those things just do happen. Ladies and gentlemen, they know 40 cents out of every dollar we spend is has to be borrowed today. In Sydney, 30 years ago, about 20 cents out of every dollar the federal government spent was spent certainly on the social programs. Today it is 60, 5.66 cents of every dollar the American spends, or the American government spends. They spend it on Medicare, on Medicaid, and on food stamps and Social Security. And this is certainly the vast majority of the money that the federal government is spending. Now, of course, they're spending more than that. They're spending certainly a great deal on our military. And then, of course, they have all these wonderful giveaway programs where they buy the support of people. The old adage, you know, if you can borrow from Peter to pay Paul, you can always depend upon Paul's vote. But if you can give money to both Peter and Paul, why, everybody will support you, and that's just what we've got here in America. You don't have to take the money from Peter to pay Paul, because they simply are creating the money, but eventually, of course, this whole system collapses. They know that. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I would simply point out that from a purely a logical point of view, I think people have to understand that everything is operating on some sort of a timeline. And somehow it ties in one way or another, to all of these ancient timelines. And why is it all coming to pass now? Is this just a lot of hokum? Is this a lot of hoopla? No, I believe, of course, that there may be some spiritual significance to the Mayan calendar. I believe there's spiritual significance to Notre Dame's predictions. We know that the ancient Jewish writers were talking about the year 2012. We know that Ken Fromm, who was talking to Lindsay Williams, and he was part of the elite, said he pointed to the fact that by the end of 2012, the dollar would be dead. Those were his words, the dollar would be dead. And I can remember Lindsay telling me that back in 2008. And then, of course, we know, talking to Constance Cumby, she'll be our guest here, that if you read the New Age literature, they will tell you, the occult literature, they will tell you that they're planning that this will come to a head here in the year 2012. What does this mean? Does it mean the Lord's coming? I don't think so at all. I just believe there are going to be cataclysmic events, and I think we should be prepared for them. And how this is going to come down, I really don't know, but I do know that we're facing terrible, terrible economic problems. If you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I'd like to know if you have a question for Melody Cedarstrom with Discount Gold and Silver. And Melody, why don't you go ahead and get your telephone number and your website out there. But if you have a question or comment and something you'd like to know, I have a question for Melody, or just something you'd like to say, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 464-8295. How can people get in touch with you if they'd like to, Melody?
They can call us at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And our website is dgscoins.com. That's dgscoins, C-O-I-N-S.com is the website. And they can visit the website. They can sign up for a newsletter that will be produced after the first of the new year, which is just around the corner. And, of course, we also post our radio program. We show a listing of our products. It's just a select group of coins. We can't put everything on there. We're not online sellers of gold and silver. We want you to call us. You can email us, but we also want you to call us.
Well, that's DGS. That's for Discount Gold and Silver. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, DGS.com.
And DGScoins.com.
DGScoins.com. But ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to start realizing, Chris, this whole house of cards is coming down. I said the monetary system is one of the foundations of our society, of any society. Destroy the monetary system, you destroy the nation. And what most people don't understand is there really are people who want to destroy our monetary system because they want to destroy our nation, and they're not communists. They're people who've been funding communism, though, since its inception. Well, Melody said to me, as we look and see what's happening, they tell us, oh, my goodness, things are really looking up. Boy, we had a better Christmas than we thought we were going to have. And then the next thing we hear is the people who own Sears, and Kmart are going to have to close down. Over 100 stores are doing so poorly. And certainly that a lot of the stores did not do very well. They had to make, they said that they may have had a lot of sales, but they had to have tremendous cuts in prices to get this through. But when you see major companies like Sears and Roebuck, this has been around ever since I can remember, having to close 100 or more stores, Kmart and Sears, this certainly doesn't bode very well for our financial system, does it?
No, it certainly doesn't. And of course, you know, you have so many people do online buying. You know, they don't go to the store anymore, but the reports that I've been told through the holiday season, there was like, you know, the Friday after Thanksgiving and, you know, maybe one other day in December were busy where they went shopping, but it was quiet, elsewhere. So again, I do believe the numbers were, manufactured. I believe the reports were certainly over enthusiastic as far as what has been happening, and the reality I think will come out in January if they actually report on the truth of the state. But you're going to start seeing some earnings reports coming out, and so that should tell a little bit of what is truly happening in the economy out there. But they certainly do spin things on the numbers. And certainly we all know the reason they keep the stock market up, particularly the Dow, is the main focus, because it does keep people in this, you know, feel-good, you know, this feel-good state to, you know, where they do purchase things and they keep going so they don't question things. And so we see that happening. And I guess oil, I mean, we've seen oil is up over $100, but gasoline prices really haven't moved to the same degree that oil has with it being up over $100. But we will. And again, that'll put a, that will dampen the consumer's mood out there as far as their euphoric, from the reports that we've seen on this consumer. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice, Dr. Stan.
Well, yeah, one of the things that really disturbs me is all the political candidates, the Republican presidential candidates, except for Ron Paul, seem to be quite willing to use force or even go to war with Iran, you know, to keep Iran from getting the nuclear bomb. But, of course, you know, if that were to happen, why, of course, the Iranians could close the Straits of Hormuz, that would raise the price of oil in Europe probably to $150 to $200 a gallon and just destroy the financial structure of Europe. What in heaven's name are these people thinking? Why would any logical person want to get into another war? Ron Paul says, let's negotiate. Let's try to come up with a situation where we can keep them from getting the bomb. He doesn't want them to get the bomb, but he doesn't think that the way to prevent this is to go to war with Iran. And I don't either. What are your thoughts?
Well, I agree. I mean, I think they need to, you know, have discussions and so forth as they would with any other nation, you know, and try to settle things. But yeah, certainly not war, but I think we all know war is going to happen. And it's probably, again, just one of those things that lingers in the background. It's just
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We're just talking about the fact that it appears we're going to war with Iran. What most Americans don't understand is we're already at war with Iran. We are at war with Iran. We put sanctions on that country. That is an act of war. We gave $400 million to something known as MEK. MEK, that's certainly a name for an Iranian terrorist organization. We gave them $400 million to disrupt the country. That is an act of war. Somebody's going around killing Iranian government officials. Somebody's going around and killing Iranian scientists. That is an act of war, and whether it's MEK, whether it's Mossad, whether it is certainly our intelligence agencies, but they're all working together to destabilize Iran. Recently we saw one of their whole vast military stations there, vast military areas, totally decimated by massive explosions. Now, the Iranians haven't accused us of that. I think that's very smart, but I think there's no question at all. This was done either by the Israelis or by the Americans. This is an act of war. We're overflying their country with our drones. We're incensed that they brought one of them down, but that is an act of war. We're already at war with the Iranian government. Why doesn't anybody come out and say that? Maybe we haven't got our planes going over there and dropping bombs, but somebody's blowing up this military base within the last 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to talk about this. It's all, what can we do if they got to get the bomb? We put these people in power. People have forgotten. We installed the Ayatollahs back in 1979. We've kept them in power. We've covered time and time and time again where they were involved with illicit activities, almost as if we were waiting for a justification to do what we're doing. When they captured and tortured to death a fellow named Buckley, he was the American station chief in Beirut. We covered for that. We didn't try to rescue Mr. Buckley. But when they blew up the Iranians blew up the military base there, the Marine barracks in Beirut, we didn't do anything. We knew that the Iranians had done it. When they blew up the American embassy in Beirut, we didn't do anything about it. We've been covering for them all along, and the question is, why? Well, I think it's basically because everything is on a timetable, and that wasn't the time to act against the Iranians. But remember, we installed the Ayatollahs. I believe we put some of our people in there undercover. And we have agents working in every government in the world today. And so we pay them very well to pretend to be loyal to their countries, whereas actually they're betraying them, and they're doing our bidding. And certainly I believe that many of the atrocities that are committed by other countries are actually committed by people we employ. And if you don't think this sort of thing goes on, you really need to get the statement. It's available. Lord James speaking in Parliament, the British Parliament, on the 1st of November, about 10 o'clock in the evening. We have the minutes of Parliament, or you get the book, or you get the story on the Internet by turning it Belfast Telegraph, Lord James, funding terrorists. And on the 1st of November of last year, he talked about how he was actually funding terrorists in both Ireland and in North Africa. He was spending billions of dollars funding the terrorists in North Africa. Why would he be doing something like that? Well, very, very simply. I mean, basically, if you don't have an enemy, how are you going to have a war? If you don't have a powerful terrorist enemy, how are you going to have a war on terrorism? If you don't have an enemy, how are you going to get the American people to give up their freedom? That's Lord James. Have you looked it up? Belfast Telegraph. Certainly November 1st, funding African terrorists, or funding terrorists. And we have it. If you can't find it, it's available by calling from Radio Liberty and ask for Lord James' testimony before Parliament or for the Belfast Telegraph article. Understand, we fund terrorists throughout the world, and of course, the CIA works hand in glove with, of course, the Bank of England. They're the ones who are putting up the money. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're not involved in helping us get the information out, you're part of the problem. So if you have a question or comment, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Our guest, Melody Cederstrom, will be back in just a moment, but we'd love to hear from you. Yeah. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom. My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, what do you think about Ron Paul and his candidacy? What do you think about Michelle Bachmann? What do you think about Newt Gingrich? What do you think about Mitt Romney? Would he make a good president? And what about Rick Perry? Well, I certainly would like your thoughts on what's going on as far as the election is concerned. But before we do anything, Melody, I want you to get your telephone number and your website out there so people can get in touch with you if they want to get your views on what's happening financially and what they should be doing to protect themselves in these difficult times. But my fear is that most people are going to get totally wiped out before this is over.
Well, they can call us on telephone number 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. They can visit our website at dgscoins.com. That is dgscoins.com. And if they have written down the old website, that is still workable. It will go to the new website, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. But the new shorter version, dgscoins.com. And we'd be more than happy to help anyone as they acquire gold and silver. If they're new to the market or if they continue to accumulate their precious metals, in my view, it's a very difficult time out there, and you do need to preserve your wealth. There is so much disinformation floating around, not only on the internet and information of what people should buy, what they shouldn't buy, they need to do this, they need to do that, and I think it just confuses people. They end up either buying the wrong thing or not buying anything at all, and then that's the worst thing that they can do. So if you have any questions, we'd be more than happy to answer them. And what you do now is you buy quality now, because the markets are very thin. There really is not a lot of gold and silver out there in product. And it doesn't take much of a situation for people to come rushing into the physical metal for it to take a lot of the inventory off the shelf, and to where product gets more difficult to get, premiums increase, and then you don't have a selection on what you can purchase. So, you know, at least you have now the opportunity in order to be a little more selective in the product that you purchase. Silver Eagles, there's a little bit of a delay on Silver Eagles as we change over from 2011 to 2012 issues. They're looking about a couple of weeks out on the Silver Eagles, but that's the main reason on that. We always run into this type of a delay at this time of the year. So that's not unusual for that. But I actually had someone tell me today that they purchased from this place, and it takes 2-3 months to get their order. And they've been happy with the way it's been processed, but they're going to tack on another month. And it's like, folks, there's no reason for you to wait 2, 3, 4-plus months for your product. My heavens. Everything that we process is completed within 15 business days. You might not have received the product, but at least it's on its way. What we have to do, and that's from the time of the order, from you sending us your payment, if you make payment by a personal check, and waiting for it to clear and sending the product to you. Of course, if you bank wire, you'd get your product a lot sooner. Everything is processed within, you know, about 24 hours. So there's no reason it should take 3, 4, 5, 6, 8-plus weeks for you to get your product. I wouldn't do business with anyone who took that long to deliver products. So it's very important because there's no reason. There's no reason.
So, well, what are they doing? Why are people putting in these long delays? Are they taking people's money and investing it in something else? Are they hoping the price will go down so they can buy it cheaper than they've offered it for? What's the real purpose behind that?
I think it's a multiple of reasons. I do believe they wait for the price to go down so they can repurchase at lower prices, making more profit. I think they also use new money to pay for old product. When you have these big swings in markets, dealers can get, you know, if they play the market, they can get in trouble real quick, which delays deliveries. So, I mean, there could be all kinds of reasons why they do that. But I think those are the two most common reasons, but it shouldn't happen. As I said, I wouldn't deal with anybody who couldn't deliver you in a timely manner. In 6 weeks is not timely. If they tell you, well, we'll ship it out in 4 weeks, that is not timely. So, not in these markets. Not when you have the swings like you do. If you have a dealer that, you know, is waiting for the price to go down and all of a sudden it goes up $30, $40, $50, $60, you know, the markets move too quick. Same way with silver. You know, so what are they going to do? They're going to wait, and then they're going to wait, and, you know, they might not get in at all.
Well, no, basically, right now, because the price of silver is pretty down. I saw it was $28.50 or something like that, $28.90 today.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the price of silver down so far? Why is the price of gold down so far? Is this happening spontaneously? Does this have to do with supply and demand? Or is this all manipulated to actually alter our feelings about precious metals and the hopes that people will sell? Are any of your customers selling into this market?
No. No. I mean, I have a few who sell because they're in, you know, financial troubles, but they're certainly not selling because the price of gold and silver is going lower or has gone up to these levels. I really do believe that the markets have been manipulated. It's very easy to manipulate these prices when we have such a thin trading volumes during the month of December, during the holidays. And we've seen a little bit of strength in the dollar, but really, I mean, with the crude oil trading over 101, gold prices and silver should both be higher. So I really do believe they put a lot of pressure on these. It's a little bit easier for them to manipulate over a longer period of time. When we get back to normal trading, I believe in January, you're going to see a different story. Because in the past, in normal trading periods, they could hit the price for a day or two, but never an extended. In the past couple years, it's been that way. So I think you're going to see higher prices return to both gold and silver after the holidays.
All right, fine. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens next year, because I think there are going to be all sorts of really economic crises. I think the whole suddenly structure of Europe is coming down. Basically, Chris, we know that the Australian banks were given 7 days' notice they would have 7 days to come up with a plan on what they would do if the European currency collapsed. Apparently, something very, very similar has happened in the United States and in several other countries, and they've asked the banks to come up with a plan of what they would do in case there was a terrible financial crisis. I don't ever remember the banks being on short notice, being asked to come up with a plan of what they would do if the financial structure of the world began to collapse. Do you?
I've never heard of such a thing. But it just goes to show that they're certainly making plans, because it is going to happen. There is a day of reckoning that is approaching, and there's no way we can change it. It is happening. I mean, we have gone way far beyond the point of fixing things, and even fixing things would be a difficult road. And this will play out. They will collapse the economies. They will collapse the financial system in order to bring in their system. And there really is only one true way of protecting yourself, and I do believe that is with physical gold and taking delivery of it.
Well, basically, everything points to the fact that Greece is going to end up having to default on its loans. It's going to have to default on the banks are going to have to default on a lot of the bonds that they've released, and many of the banks are actually have agreed to take a 50% haircut. But of course, what this is going to result in is a tremendous austerity. The government's going to have to cut back on its spending. On pensions, on benefits, on Social Security, certainly on free medical care. One in three Greeks works for the Greek government. They get salaries three times what the general individual does, and the Greek government has run out of money. The banks are running out of money, and I think it's only a time before Greece goes down, and certainly if it does, why, of course, Italy and Spain and Portugal and Ireland, they'll all be following very closely, and I think we're going to have to watch this very carefully. Well, of course, it would take probably $4 to $6 trillion to prevent this from happening. And of course, the European Central Bank is talking about a couple of $100 billion. They know very well this will only buy time. It's buying time. Why are they trying to buy time? Well, I think there's a timetable, and they're waiting till the right time. They're going to pull the plug, and the whole situation is going to come tumbling down. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I hope that the American people are making preparations. What percentage of the American people do you think have any idea what's really going on, Melody? What percentage of the people are really buying gold and silver and preparing for the difficult times that lie ahead?
Very few. You're probably looking about 1%, maybe 1.5%. It's a very low number. But people don't understand, too. You know, I hear all the time, well, no one in this country has any money to buy gold. And it's like, we don't need 100% of the investment population to turn to gold. We only need, you know, 4% of the population, of the investing population, to turn to gold. So, you know, there will be plenty of folks out there that will be turning to gold as a way, as a, the financial insurance policy. They will turn to that quality. They will turn to gold, physical gold, as a safe haven. I think we see a lot of people now, they're in these other paper investments, they're in these ETFs, they're on the various different programs that you have for gold and so forth. I think that has also sort of watered down some of the various products in the gold market and so forth. But when it really hits, people will want the physical, because the physical gold has always been there. It will always be there, and that's where people will turn to, the smart people. So gold and silver, the inventory, product inventory, the availability, is a small market. Sure, we don't have any problems with delivery now, but when you have another percent of the population come into the market, when there's turmoil, going on in the financial market, product will disappear very quickly.
Well, I'm sure you're absolutely right, Melody. But then, of course, it will be too late for most people to be able to do much of anything. Of course, my fear is that we're going to get into an inflationary spiral, and the average individual will not recognize it until it's too late. You know, you can get 10 to 15% inflation, and the average individual really is unaware of it. It's only when it gets to 20, 25% that they really begin to see it. Of course, Paul Williams has pointed out the real inflation rate is pretty close to 11% at the present time, and the average individual doesn't understand what is going on. Inflation is not simply the rising prices. Inflation is a reflection of the increase in the money supply, and as you increase the money supply, it drives the goods off the shelves, and then the prices go up and creeps as we get artificial shortages.
Absolutely. And you're right, people don't understand inflation. I had a lady today, she says, well, I don't know gold, I'm only going to put a portion of my of my account into physical gold, and I'm going to leave the rest in the bank. I says, well, what are you getting for interest rate? I mean, what are they paying you on it? I says, you're losing money. I mean, even though that paper statement shows that you have that amount in there, you're losing because your purchasing power of that money you have in there is declining. And it's so hard for people to understand this. There is a comfort level that has been built over these years that if they put their money in the bank and they get their monthly statement, or whether they put it in with their financial planners, they get that statement, they see their account, they think that's real, it's there. They just don't understand that it's paper. And yet she was willing to put a little bit of it, maybe a quarter of it or less, into physical gold. It's like, what's that going to do for you? How much is that going to preserve? But it is a starting point. And of course, once people begin getting product and they begin getting delivery of their gold and silver, you know, they realize it's a lot easier than what people have told them, especially their financial planners and their bankers. Well, why do you want gold? You know, why do you want to keep that in your home? Why do you want to worry about it and all this? And it keeps them. They don't want people to have gold. They really do not. Because number one, they want your money. But with gold, you're really financially independent. You're out of the system as much as you can be with your finances. And you get to control your finances. And that's just, I think, in the future, and in the very near future, that's going to be so important.
Well, I think things are going to begin picking up and moving at a much, much, much faster pace.
Mm-hmm.
Melody, I want you to get your telephone number and your website out one last time.
Our telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And our website is dgscoins.com. That's dgscoins.com.
Well, I think people have to look and see what's going on. Are we going to war with Iran? If we do, of course, Iran will close the Straits of Hormuz. It will raise the price of oil dramatically, and with that, the price of certainly gold and silver will go up. What's going to happen with Syria? It looks like our government is intent upon toppling the government of Syria. And when we do that, then which country is next? Is it Bahrain? Is it Yemen? It will be the Arab Emirates over there. Ladies and gentlemen, it should be obvious to anybody with half an ounce of intelligence that our government is intent upon toppling literally all of the governments over there, and I'm sure Saudi Arabia is on that list as well. We pretend to be friends with them, but the leaders of the Brotherhood of Darkness have no permanent friends. They have only permanent interests, and the time will come when I'm sure that Saudi Arabia will be expendable. People don't like to understand what's going on. But our leaders have no loyalty to anything other than to this internationalist dream. And they're part of this movement that's been going on for 3,000 years. If you doubt it, you need to read a book written by a Satanist. His name is Manly B. Hall. When he died, he was acknowledged by the Scottish Rite Masons to be the leading Masonic philosopher of all time. And Sidney, in his book, going into the secret destiny of America, he will tell you that for 3,000 years there have been secret societies out here all throughout the world working to bring about world democracy. An alignment of states all bound together by democracy, which is another word for dictatorship. Well, Melody, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program.
You know, Dr. Stan, they really don't try to hide things anymore. I mean, just watching a little bit of CNBC this morning, the financial news program, they had a person on there, and, you know, they were very proud to show that he was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. I mean, you see, this is how their programming is. This is the conditioning of the people. This is where they want people to move. It's very important that they have their money. Wall Street has been their bank. They're going to use Wall Street to strip the Americans of every dollar that they have. They use it as their banking. It is their bank in order to, you know, destroy this country. And it just baffles me why anybody would keep their funds in Wall Street and in paper when we have all these problems here and around the world. But that we'd be more than happy to talk to people. It always surprises me that when I'm on these programs, how few calls where people actually call in and ask questions about gold and silver. I mean, that is my that's where I'm an expert at. And I tell people the truth. You know, what is the best product out there? There's just so much disinformation about gold product in the various, you know, just, you know, all these rules and things you need to follow and what you must avoid. And most likely anytime you hear these things and these various programs and so forth, a lot of them just have their agenda. It's not complicated buying gold and silver. You need to keep it basic, simple, and balanced in your portfolio. And that's what we do with our clients. We really do educate them. And that's really important. So I encourage folks just to give us a call at 800-375-4188.
It's so vitally important that people understand that there are a lot of salesmen out there, but you never know if you don't have somebody who has a good reputation. A lot of people just come into this. They're there for a short period of time to make a quick killing. They're selling you commemorative coins. They're fast talkers. And they'll try to sell you these things with the idea that you're going to make a lot of money. And basically, of course, what they're really interested in is making a lot of money themselves. But you pretty well want to stick just with the value of the gold in the coin, don't you?
Well, I mean, you buy what's suitable for you, you know, and everybody has a different definition of what's suitable for themselves. But you do. You want to build a foundation. It's okay to go into other things, but you have to know. It's the education. It's making an informed decision.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Melody. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Melody is saying it's so important when you're buying gold and silver coins to make an intelligent decision. What was your point you want to make before I let you go?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Well, basically, we're starting to make a point, you know, that you had to get the right information before you made your purchase.
Exactly. People have their own investment objectives why they're purchasing gold and silver. The key thing is you want to preserve your wealth. And what product is going to do that most for you? I mean, people really shouldn't have any more than a few products in their portfolio. The key thing is they need to accumulate. And you don't need to own a coin store. And you want to build that foundation. And then if you want to expand on that foundation, that's okay. But the key thing is getting and accumulating as much as you can. And spreading and getting as much as you can for your dollars because you work too hard for it. And so that's what we do. We educate our clients. We help them make an informed decision. They know the product that they purchase. So many times I have clients who call me and I ask them what they're holding. They say, I really don't know. I mean, how can you put your, you know, hard-earned money into something that you don't even know what you purchased? You know, that is poor education from the dealer that they bought it from.
It sure is. Well, we're out of time, Melody. God bless you. We'll talk to you later, and thanks very much.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
And I know this is Dr. Stan. That was Melody Cedarstrom, and we do hope, of course, that that you'll give serious consideration to what she's suggesting. Get yourself into a defensive position because we're heading into a period of chaos and crisis. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to hear my talk on the financial tsunami, my talk on the financial Armageddon. We have certainly four tape sets on the financial Armageddon, certainly we have four CD sets. We carry, of course, a little book on the history of money. We carry a little pamphlet. It's called Of Fiat Money Inflation in France. It was written 150 years ago by Andrew Dickinson White, who, as I remember, was the dean at Cornell University, about what happened at the time of the French Revolution. You must read this book. It's one of the most important little books. Not that expensive, but very important. We have a pamphlet called Prophetic Warning. It's basically Andrew Jackson's farewell address when he was leaving the presidency in 1837, but nothing has changed since that time. Andrew Jackson warned what was going to happen when the banks came to control America, and the banks do control America today. And suddenly, of course, you need to get my pamphlet on the history of money, give you an excellent background overall. And basically, of course, the people who control the major banks tie into what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. And they, of course, control our military. They control the banking system. There's six major banks. They control 70% of the assets in America. They control the corporations. They control the leaders of both political parties. They control the educational system. They control the great tax exempt foundations. And they control the religious seminaries, both Catholic and Protestant. As a result, they control largely what the American people think. They control the major media outlets, and because of that, the average individual has no idea what's going on. Well, we would plead with you, get the information, get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the dark secret, on the forbidden secret. Get a little pamphlet on the book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy by Gary Arnold. Get Professor Quigley's monstrous book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. But you need to have the information so you can understand what's happening. We got a great book called Money Creators, written by Gertrude Coogan in 1935. We have another book called The Coming Battle, and it was written in 1899 by a lawyer named Mr. Walther about when, of course, the banks control the world. And ladies and gentlemen, the banks do control the world today. So get the information and then help us get it out across America. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders, pray for our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we're on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 2 January, Monday. Yeah, we're live at the Power Hour today, 2011. Thank you so very much for joining us, caring about your world and wanting to get better each day. That's what it's all about at the Power Hour, and I do welcome you back. I am so glad to be back, so glad to be able to talk with you, to hear what you have to say for this new year, and to learn more together, because we all need to become stronger, more fit, more capable, more active in what we do. Because it is coming to one of the most significant times in our lives, and we are so grateful to be alive at this time. This is an exciting time to be alive. I guarantee you. I don't have to tell you. It is a very exciting time, and I am just so glad to know all of you and to sort of be in the foxhole with all of you. We don't know what's going to happen, but you know, we do see in front of us